Mysterio Lionel! Extraordinario! Magnifico!
Glory, glory, Man United is something that's not applicable to current times, and we're going to discuss why and how. Welcome to the Football Corner, Mancha's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
You can find us wherever you guys get your podcasts or our website, manchamedia.com.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media at Mancha Podcast.
So before we begin, I would like to welcome to the show friend of TFC and lifelong Man United fan, Harsh. Welcome, Harsh.
Thank you for having me. It's always a blast being here.
Are you excited about this episode?
Absolutely not.
Right choice. Good choice.
As you should not be, man. But I was very keen on having you on the episode to get, you know, a fan's perspective of our discussion. So I feel like to truly understand what United is going through, it's only fair if we look at it from a point of view of the Fergie era and the post-Fergie era.
Absolutely, like so, the good old days.
The good old days, yeah. Just fill you up with some nostalgia before we take a dump.
I'm glad I came.
So, you know, let's talk about Fergie's United a bit and some of the things that I feel aren't discussed as much. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the playing style of that team and how Fergie sort of orchestrated the numerous countless wins that he had. And after that, I also want to talk about how his ability to just generate results from like a substandard squad were so high that a lot of the titles and wins came with players who I've already forgotten what they look like.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts on his playing style? Like, what's the defining playing style of Manchester United under Alex Ferguson?
Starting with formation.
Sure, yeah.
4-4-2s, I guess.
Yeah, I think 4-4-2 was the most prominent.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, in the 90s, the 4-4-2 was, I think world football was dependent on not wingers, but right midfielders,
right,
like a David Beckham, the best example.
Yeah.
And then by the time like Ronaldo came on, the whole wing, attacking wing sort of changed. But I think Fergie mostly stuck with his 4-4-2, didn't he?
And plus, yeah, like you're saying, the winger, I think that's more like an evolution that came around more towards the 2000s. Yeah. I think back when, you know, when Alex Ferguson took over, it was majorly 4-4-2 that he was playing. And yeah, like as you said, I think it was his, what he could get out of players that were even subpar players, the kind of ability that he could derive from them. I think that's what made him great.
And what we should also acknowledge here is that he didn't have the best time when he came from Aberdeen. He took his time to get into the swing of things. But football was different then. People were allowed a lot more time to adjust and stuff. So let's not forget that, because right now our image of Ferguson is the greatest manager alive.
Absolutely.
A true and true winner. But he took his time to settle in.
Right. It took him at least 3 or 4, 5 years to settle in and, you know, get United results in the first, like, get the results coming in and get trophies to the stadium. So when we're talking about Ole right now, I think it's only justified, and it's the only United way that, you know, people give him time, people let him settle in, people let him do what he wants. You've already seen it through the transfer market as well, the way he's conducted transfers this season. All the transfers have really worked for us. They've made the team better. It's just the team lacks depth.
I agree. And I would say, like, because there have only been 3 transfers, those 3 transfers have been doing well, but there needed to be more. We'll talk about Ole a little bit later.
Absolutely.
Okay, so one thing that I want to talk about is, which there are a lot of, are these defining players of Fergie's United.
Yeah.
And because Ferguson's United had 2 to 3 maybe really good teams from different eras, there are a lot of great players that sort of led that Manchester United team too.
Absolutely.
The first era, which I like to call the mid to late 90s, highly dependent on the class of 92.
Right.
Those guys came out and did really well. Plus Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's the current manager. Eric Cantona was there. Dwight York, Andy Cole. Those guys did a lot. And then I think it sort of transitioned to this whole Rio Ferdinand, Nemanja Vidic, Van der Sar,
Ronaldo,
Wayne
Rooney,
and then Ronaldo, Ruud van Nistelrooy.
How can you forget Anderson? Come on.
Anderson,
come to them.
Anderson's on my pretty high up on my list of the forgettable players, which we'll talk about a little after this. But he did have a healthy crop of really good players to come in and help out the team. Van Persie in that last season came through a lot. But what's surprising is how he was able to maintain success by surrounding those good players with I'll be nice enough and say mediocre talent, which a lot of them weren't, because a team is as good as its weakest link.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And if we've seen this in current Premier League era as well. If my team has great attack but lose defense, then I'm not getting my 3 points,
right?
Because I'm conceding a lot of goals. So I actually compiled a list of all of these forgettable players from Ferguson's time at United. Anderson, like you mentioned, who can forget the twins, the lethal duo Fabio and Rafael. And I actually consider Michael Carrick to be on this list, even though by the later stages of his career, he kind of stepped up.
Absolutely. Mm. I think Carrick was phenomenal for us.
Later on, but then when he was there for like a good 3-4 seasons, he was, a lot of people were like, what is he doing there?
Ouch.
And same thing for Fletcher as well, though like he became well. But
no, he never became well.
No, he never became well. Okay. And let's not forget that Smalling and Jones, who... they've been around since the Ferguson era.
I did not realize that. Yeah, I can't even believe it that these guys were kids when they came onto the scene.
Right.
When they came onto United. And everybody expected them to step up. Smalling, in a couple of seasons, did. And then from there, oh my God, it's just gone to trash.
Are you glad he's at Roma?
I am so happy. But I'm actually happy that he's doing well there. But
won't you rather have Smalling in your team and Jones go off to a Roma or something? You still have Phil Jones. You have Marcus Rojo still.
I know. And I think, again, there's no lesser evil here.
Yeah, right? There isn't. That's right.
Ouch, that bad.
And a few players who I completely forgot were in Man United. Darren Gibson.
Yes.
Who that?
Yeah, exactly, right? Who that? Demba.
Oh,
anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone
Eric Demba.
Eric Demba. Yeah. Jemba. Yeah. Kleberson was in United.
Yes.
I struggled to remember what his face was like.
I remember he had those transparent braces. That's how I used to recognize him.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, eye for detail. I like it. And Wes Brown.
Wes Brown was phenomenal.
Great.
Couldn't say that with a straight face.
I think it was phenomenal.
He was not phenomenal. But the point is that a lot of these guys were actually starters, if not regular players for United, right? So this was United's depth at that time.
Absolutely.
So apart from relying on your superstars, you had to rely on this depth to carry you forward and win your Champions League title.
Right,
and
but when we look at United playing under Alex Ferguson, like we have like throughout, 90s, throughout the early 2000s, you would see... all these players putting in 100%, the effort would always be there, right? And now we see the superstars as United. You've seen more heart, you've seen more passion in a Sunday league.
That is true.
Yeah. Ouch.
But that also has a lot. And it's very clear the only reason for that was Ferguson.
Absolutely.
And his influence on the club and his influence on his players. He was so strict. I remember about what a player says outside of the dressing room, throwing shoes at David Beckham in the locker room. You don't hear that. You don't see that anymore. But he was fiercely protective of his players as well.
Absolutely.
He would never criticize them in the media. He had a way about him which we haven't seen in managers even from that time as well as now. Right. Now you have your Mourinho just openly criticizing players and being like, just blaming it on the players and what's happening on the pitch and not being protective. And because of that, that has a double negative effect on your players as well. Because then there's a divide between the coaching staff and the players, which was never there during Ferguson's time. Right?
Absolutely.
Even if there were scandals, Ferguson would make sure they would stay within the club
behind closed doors.
And that and his relationship with the club hierarchy, I feel like, is a big sort of reason why he was able to do what he did with the team, which was great to mediocre at times.
Absolutely.
And still get his results.
Yeah.
So that's something that we haven't seen. And it's not like it's a Man United thing. We haven't seen that with managers in general mostly. So Ferguson was an anomaly. And obviously when someone like that leaves the club, it's gonna derail everything. There's going to be a stabilization period, which according to me, Man United didn't follow through with.
Absolutely. 26 years of one guy leading everything there, taking charge. And then when someone like that, someone who's been that prominent in the club, in all aspects, right? Signings, the way the club plays, the image, like you already said, what players say outside the club, in interviews and all of that. When someone like that leaves, it's going to leave very big, it's going to leave a very, very big gap. And we appointed Moyes.
Which was Ferguson's choice, by the way.
It was. And now that you think about it, maybe if Moyes was given enough time, maybe, right? you don't know where it would have gone.
So let's jump into it. Let's jump into this manager merry-go-round that United has gone through and just trying to find that right. I feel like I'm jumping ahead now, but I feel like what they're doing with Ole now is what they should have done with Moyes then.
Absolutely.
Focus on youngsters, focus on rebuilding your squad because it just, that precarious position where I feel like when Fergie left, it wasn't the best United squad.
Yeah.
That last title he got with Van Persie firing and all of that was just a full ditch effort of dekhte hain, nikal sakte hain jitna nikal lete hain. And then you leave a manager like David Moyes, experienced as he was with one team, you leave him with that squad and then expect the same or comparable results. That's not going to happen, man.
Absolutely. And plus, like you already, the squad was not that great. Even Van Persie, even though he was phenomenal for us. When he came on for Ferguson, I think he scored 20 plus goals in his first season, right?
Yeah, I think.
And and he single-handedly won us the league. Him, Rooney together, single-handedly won us the league.
Right.
And as soon as Ferguson left, like when you said Moyes came over, he's handed this exact same team. He's gotten like, what, two transfers, three transfers max.
He got Mata and Fellaini.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mata, I've always loved. I think he was really, really good for Chelsea.
Yep.
I have no idea why they let him go.
Same here.
I thought he was a very good addition to United squad. But in general, like you said, like you needed to give this guy some time to make his own team, let his vision come true, you know, let him settle in with the squad. He got 1 year and he was sent off.
He actually got less than a year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He got hired on July 1st, 2013 and April 22nd, right. He was out. Obviously, didn't get any trophies. Nowhere close to that. But if their plan of action, which it looks from the outside now, was to rush for points and trophies immediately, then it's clear that was a wrong plan of action, right? And I feel like a lot of that has to do with the club becoming what it was under Glazer ownership and Ed Woodward succeeding David Gale after Ferguson had left. It became more of a company, and it's run. It's plain to see that they're running it as a company as opposed to a football club. And when it's a company, your mission and your objectives and your motives behind the things that you do are different, which are not, I feel, applicable to a football club.
Absolutely, I couldn't have put it better. As a United fan, right now, I think there was a statement made by Ed Woodward that United is still a very financially, you know, sound club. And right now, their monetary sums are still really good. And as a fan of the club who's been supporting United from the day I started watching football, I've been with United. I think it's just heartbreaking that this is a guy who doesn't really care about the on-field results, on, you know, the scoreline and how the team is doing in the league or out in Europe. And he's more concerned about what the finances are like and if they're generating enough revenue and generating enough profit. So I think that goes to say something, that it's become like a full-blown corporate show here instead of like it's being run like a football club.
It is, man. And fans have always been very, not even divisive, they've been clearly very against this whole Glazer takeover and Ed Woodward. And I guess during Mourinho's time, a lot of rumblings of like hiring that football executive layer between a manager and the club started gaining a lot of momentum. And it just seems like Edward was more than happy to do that. He has a lot of say in terms of transfers. And I feel like his point of view in terms of transfers is financial purely, as opposed to what that would generate in terms of results. So just moving on from Moyes, the next one they hired was the late great. I'm not saying late. I'm only saying that because he's retired, quote unquote, Louis van Gaal. And he was there for a couple of seasons, I would want to say, and he got in about 14 players.
I think he got in half the Netherlands teams.
Well, let's just run through his transfers really quickly. So you got Radamel Falcao on loan Monaco, deadline day. Got 4 goals the entire season.
Ouch. Fantastic. I think he single-handedly changed the season for us.
Yeah.
Much
got
needed.
You from like what, 6th to 5th or whatever that
much
was.
Much needed.
You got Daley Blind, who became sort of a mainstay for that team.
Yep.
I feel like the problem with Blind was technically he was good, but physically he wasn't.
I think, even though he's an Ajax right now, I think he's doing really, really well. I've always thought he's a very good player. He's a very technical player, like you said, but for Premier League, you need to have that grit. You need to have, you know, you need to get your hands dirty. And I think that's something that Blind lacked.
And Blind, I'm not sure about this, but felt like for the most part of his Man United career played as a left back.
Absolutely, yeah. He didn't get
he's technically that left mid, but he's not that winger.
Yeah.
And the game's changed. I can't to this day tell you what Van Gaal's preferred formation was. Can you?
And I don't think I can.
What was that football? I don't know. Like Mourinho, I understand his defensive football. What was Van Gaal doing? I have no idea.
I think it was just pass it to anyone you see.
Yeah. Jo open hai, usko dal do ball, fir dekhte hain.
Busy spending money.
Yeah. So he got Daily Blind. He got Marcus Rojo. Oh my God.
He's my like, God. Marcus like, Rojo is like the exact opposite of Daily Blind. Like there's no technicality there. It's just hands dirty all the time. Always on the floor.
So you say he had a plan to compensate for that transfer.
But they never played together.
Marcus Rojo, man, what an anomaly.
And to think he's still in the club.
He's still in the club because there are no buyers, I want to say.
Yeah, no one wants him.
It's this whole Alexis Sanchez situation, right? Where a player just gets such a salary that no other club's willing to give that salary.
But it's not like Rojo's on a big salary.
I agree, but whatever he's getting, I'm sure seems like he's getting overpaid. And he's probably holding his ground and being like, I'm going to World Cup.
That's true, actually. Yeah, I think in the Premier League currently, United has the largest wage bill, which is, I think, 323 million.
Not Premier League. I think it's in the world. Yeah.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
It's close to 320 million.
Yeah, 323 million, last I saw.
Per year?
Per year.
On wages?
Just wages.
Jesus, man. Okay. Let's keep moving. Let's not get derailed. You got Di Maria.
Fantastic player.
I think
Di
Maria is a fantastic player, and the way he started off for us, I still remember that one chip where he chipped that keeper, and what a goal. Yeah. And everybody just believed that he's going to be the next Ronaldo, he's going to be the next guy who's going to drag United through.
And he came charge. Off, I believe he came from Real.
Right.
I believe he had the best season by an attacking winger that season with Real.
Absolutely.
He got them the Champions League.
Absolutely.
He single-handedly, I think, assisted Ronaldo like 5 to 6 times alone. He had a magnificent season. Right. I can't understand why they let him go firstly.
Pesa, 57 million at that
Well, it was,
time,
yeah, it was United's record signing at the time.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, fine, Real went on to like kill it the three seasons after. So maybe there's like something there which I don't understand. But he came on, then he got a couple of injuries. He had a break-in in his house, I feel like. that really
demotivated him.
Yeah. And it's clear to see how good a player he is because he went on to PSG. They sold him at a loss, but 74 goals, 71 assists in 190 games for PSG since coming on.
And PSG right now are a team, they have Mbappe, they have Neymar, they have Cavani, and still they've got Draxler, they've still got this guy coming in. Even though he's not being
regular. Lavezzi was there as well.
Absolutely. And he's not been very regular. Di Maria, generally, he's been used as a sub and now he's getting regular. Now, lately, like past
especially
couple of
this,
seasons.
This one
getting...
stretch a month or so ago when Mbappe and Neymar were both injured.
Right.
Di Maria single-handedly winning them games.
Exactly.
Right? So, it's not like he became a worse player when he came to United.
Right.
There were just extenuating circumstances coupled with the injury, coupled with, I'm assuming, some just... locker room bad morale or whatever.
And again, I think this is something that Van Gaal had to do. Van Gaal didn't play him in his position, his preferred position. Van Gaal always, wanted players who were versatile, who could play in different positions as well, rather than just one single position.
The Dutch total football.
Exactly. And even though this guy, Di Maria, was a fantastic player, I just think he couldn't adapt to it. And I think that affected his confidence as well.
I agree, man. Okay. And then he got Ander Herrera, who I think was a good signing.
I think he was a fantastic signing.
Great
signing. I can't believe we let him off for free, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can. Honestly.
Something about getting fantastic players, ruining them, and then selling them to PSG.
Yeah. And then I think the other good signing he did, which wasn't a good signing at that time, was Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw only now has become the player he is, but he's taken him like 3-4 seasons. But at the time, he was, especially under Mourinho, man. Like, Mourinho's initial 1 year, he would literally, like, criticize him every second week.
He'd be like, this guy's fat.
Yeah, Motu Salah. Then he ended up getting two midfielders who came and went before I even realized. One of them was the legend, Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Is burned out.
Burnt out completely, went to MLS where he should have gone initially, I feel.
But are we forgetting he came in right after they won the World Cup?
He did come in right after they won the World Cup, but I feel like he didn't feature as much in that World Cup squad as well.
But everybody loves Schweinsteiger.
See, that's the problem. That's the problem. It's the nostalgia that's driving you to bad decisions, right?
That's quite true, I think.
He's great. They must have spent like 15-20 million on him.
I think he came for 30.
He came for 30 million.
Yeah, from Munich. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Munich just like... Munich is a bhot hai. The Germans are ruthless, man. They're so shrewd.
Yes, yeah,
crazy transferring. Okay. And then they got Morgan Schneiderlin.
Ek aur player ko kharab kar diya.
Right.
Where is he right now?
He's in Everton.
Everton, yeah.
Oh, he's...
And he's not too bad. He's a star.
He's okay, yeah.
Okay, interesting. So, basically the I leave United, I become good again curse. They got Sergio Romero as a goalie. He played off and on. So
he's still playing.
He's still playing.
He's the second choice. He plays all...
Cup games and stuff?
Cup games, and I think generally he starts for the UEFA, not Champions League.
Then they got Memphis Depay.
Talk about one player who leaves and gets better, man. Like, this guy's been on fire since he left.
He's killing it now. I feel like maybe last season and this season, now he's killing it.
Yeah, I think
and
it took him like a year to adjust after he left United.
And he was pretty overhyped when he came.
He did. Yeah, he was. But even for the national team, he's doing really well right now.
Yeah,
he is. He is scoring goals, I national agree. And Lyon.
And then they got Matteo Darmian. Now, this guy I knew pretty well because he was in the Italian league.
Right.
And I had my head scratching. I was like, this guy, ye chotu sa kuch nahi kar payega. And that's exactly what happened. They tried to... He would just get run over, man.
Yeah.
He would just get run over by any defense.
I have not understood Matteo Darmian. Like, what was the point of getting him on board?
I don't know. He showed some flair as... Did United play him as a right back?
Yeah. Okay. He's always played as a right back.
So he showed some flair as right back in the Italian league. But I feel like... He showed some promise in the attacking third. And that's what they try to do here. They're like, we just basically need another Valencia. But Valencia is strong as shit,
Valencia
man.
Was phenomenal.
Valencia
like,
was a
he
beast,
would run
right?
his heart out, man.
Yeah, and Damian, the same thing. But the ball control wasn't as good, which Valencia took time to get used to as
right.
well. But physicality wasn't there at all. So he featured as much as I suspected he would.
Yeah.
The actual legit signing that he did, Van Hal, was Martial.
Oh, my God.
Great debut.
Absolutely. That first goal against
Henry,
Liverpool.
Yeah, Henry finish.
What? I still remember it. And yeah, I think everybody, all United fans back then actually thought we have a savior finally in a kid.
Exactly. And I feel like what he did then is still what he's doing now, which is like so threatening when he's going to cut in
Absolutely.
From the left.
And he's a player who runs at people. And in a team, in a United team like this right now, it's just so refreshing to watch. He's probably the only player that I look forward to right now when he has the ball in his feet, like when he's running towards people, apart from Daniel James now.
Yeah.
When because these are the players who run at people, run at defenses, and I think that scares defenders, right?
That does, and if the defender knows that this player has ball control,
exactly,
then
ball
scared.
Control and pace together. And it's something that both these kids have. And
but just when Martial got signed, I think it was like 2016 or maybe 2015, we haven't seen him as much, like injuries and...
Right, injuries have taken a
not even just playing
right.
in the squad,
and he's,
right?
Just because of that, he's not even broken through into the France national team.
Exactly, that's surprising.
Exactly.
Even though he plays like exactly where Mbappe plays, but...
Exactly.
Substitutes, whatever. He's still such a talent. And even this season, we saw that when Rashford and Martial started, at least attacking-wise, United looked pretty good.
Absolutely.
And as soon as Martial left, like...
Exactly,
toothless.
I think as soon as Martial's gone off, United have seen absolutely...
So he's one sort of bright spot. Luke Shaw, we spoke about. Blind was good technically again. Herrera, sure. But 12 signings in 2 years, close to £290 million.
Yeah.
Oof, bro. Seriously, man. That's a lot of confidence, understandably, that United placed in him. And all he got was an FA Cup in return.
Right.
And a slip.
And a slip. That slip was hella funny.
Yeah.
Hella funny. He did, to his credit, which is something that Van Hal gets credit for in his career generally, is giving a lot of people their debuts.
Right.
So a lot of academy guys, Fosu Mensah, Rashford came under him, Brothwick Jackson, Paddy McNair.
Right.
All these guys got their debuts under him, which is pretty good. Rashford, we see. The rest, we kind of don't. I don't even know if they're at United anymore. I think Fosu Mensah is still at United, right?
Yeah.
Paddy McNair? Anyone?
Nope, I don't think so.
And Brothwick
Jackson? No, Brothwick Jackson's off.
Okay, that's fine. At least give them a shot. Give youth a shot. So he's rotating his squad a lot. He literally changed the look and feel of the entire squad. This is basically the squad with maybe Rooney and Carrick.
Yeah.
And Ferdinand, if he was still there. I can't even remember. And I think DDG was there by this time.
Yes.
So that was this squad. And again, just an FA Cup. Not much progress compared to what Moyes did as well.
Exactly.
And upwards of 300 million spent.
Yeah, and not just that, Van Hal as a manager is he's always been a personality.
Right.
Right. So everybody thought he'd bring that charisma, bring that, you know, personality to the United team.
Right.
And which we severely lacked, after, especially after Moyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that the team lacked, and it just didn't happen. It was a no-show.
It was a no-show. But then again, does it boil down to, okay, fine, you didn't have confidence in a David Moyes. Do you have confidence in a Louis van Gaal and give him 2 seasons extra? Because the firing seemed like it was the same sort of motivation. Ki trophy chahiye, results chahiye, second aane, third aane, first aane.
No, not just that, man. As a United fan, there were times I was watching us play, and even if we were playing Champions League football, we were playing in group. This is a game I remember from group stage. I think we were playing Sevilla.
Okay.
And the passing was... it was just pointless. I was like, why are we playing like this? We lost the game.
Right.
We lost to Sevilla.
I remember feeling a lot like that.
And yeah, throughout Van Gaal's game, I was like, what is the point of this game? What are they building up towards? There was no attack.
Right.
They could barely defend to save their lives.
Right.
And it was just trying to keep possession for nothing. And it wasn't even interesting play. It wasn't like something like tiki-taka that you would enjoy seeing the possession play.
Right.
It was just boring possession play.
I agree, man. That's kind of right. It felt like pointless football.
Yeah.
And who better to replace Van Gaal to see if they get more attacking football? They got our man Mourinho in.
let's Shreyas have a word here.
Yeah, Shreyas. So he comes from Chelsea straight to Man United, or was there a gap in the middle?
No, there was a gap.
Okay. How do you feel when he came? Were you scared? Were you happy?
No. So I remember Mourinho was so much in awe of Ferguson. He used to go to him for advice even when he was in Chelsea.
They used to drink wine together, apparently.
Yeah.
So I think Mourinho somewhere felt that he was the sort of prime successor to Ferguson. And when that didn't happen, it was on his like agenda, like a bucket list thing, like, mere ko ye karna hai. So I guess he came in trying to make this statement and trying to like sort of boss everyone around and do the kind of stuff that appealed when he did it at Chelsea. But Chelsea was a very different scenario and a very different setup. So yeah, and I think we heard about the whole Mourinho versus Woodward and all the sort of disagreements with transfers. And
what do you mean heard? Mourinho used to say it himself. It's not even like secondhand information. It's like Mourinho bol raha khud.
So to put it short, no, I wasn't scared. I knew that he'd bring in some sort of order, but if everyone doesn't abide by his rules, then it's not going to work. And that's exactly what happened. The players like Pogba, Sanchez, Fred, all of these guys are big ass names, Lukaku, but they just...
Fred is a big name? Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's literally a small name and figuratively small name as well.
No, he was killing it in the Champions League. He came from Shakhtar, right?
Yeah.
And they were doing really well in the Champions League. They'd make it to the knockouts and everything else. But yeah, I mean, point being that these fancy players came in and it just didn't help them. Pogba's never seemed like he's belonged still to this day. Pog back my ass. Lukaku stolen under Chelsea's radar, thank you very much. Sanchez stolen under City's radar, thank you very much again. Even the other 19 teams are thanking you, because if he went to Guardiola
God, he would have destroyed everyone.
Yeah, I'm sure Klopp
for
is like,
sure.
Thank you, United. Not scared. He tried his sort of high and mighty sort of dictatorship, so to say, and that didn't work. And I was very happy with that.
Interesting fact is that Jose Mourinho, for his second stint at Chelsea, got hired the same day that David Moyes got hired.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So there must have been a lot of behind the scenes of like, main kar lo yaar, hire, please. Achha, main Chelsea ja raha hu. Right? Because it was pretty clear, I think, even before Ferguson left or when he was about to leave, it was pretty clear that he was adamant that Moyes succeed him.
Right.
Yes. Right? So it was pretty clear there. So
His plan, right?
I'm sure Mourinho must have tried a lot to convince him out of it. But then if it didn't happen, he went to Chelsea.
Yeah, and I'm glad it worked out that way, because Mourinho's second stint at Chelsea, that one season that we won, it was insane, man. We had Diego Costa, Fabregas, Eden Hazard.
And everybody was just firing, man.
Yeah, it was insane. And then again, it went to shit. So, okay, thank you, bye-bye.
I mean, this is you nailed it. This is exactly how you would expect Chelsea to behave, the way Man United behaved with these managers.
Right, absolutely.
Right. And granted, Mourinho at that time and still is a bigger name than Van Gaal. And they gave him, instead of 290 million, they gave him 390 million. They took it. He didn't get as many players in, but I feel like overall, if you average out the quality of players a better set of transfers. He got Eric Bailly. He got Zlatan, who killed it that one season.
Zlatan was fantastic for
killed it.
And I think we are forgetting that that season when Zlatan came in and Mourinho was there.
That was second place finished, finish
setting. And I think, so this is some what I read somewhere, the I think we finished with about 89 points or something.
Yeah.
But and 18 points behind.
18 points, yeah. But that's to credit to City, right? Just because they had an amazing season.
And is this the same season you guys got Europa League and League Cup? Or was that the season after?
No, that was after.
Okay, so he got Zlatan, he got Mkhitaryan, who I was surprised didn't do better.
Right, same. I think he never just settled into Premier League. Even with Arsenal, you just never saw him doing what he did with Dortmund.
I think the problem, honestly, is firstly, Mkhitaryan, I'm still unclear on what his preferred position is. Hmm. But when you look at that Dortmund team...
I think he's a winger.
He's a winger, then he's slow, right? That's clear to see. But then if you look at that Dortmund team and the game they played, the football they played, it was so much more fluid. Very attacking, very fluid, very forward movement, right? And he comes to this blocky Man United team.
Yep.
So that could be a big reason why he didn't gel. But then he went to Arsenal and equally bad?
Exactly.
Worse.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know what went wrong there.
How's he doing at Roma?
Just doing. And then he got Paul Pogba, the most divisive, Man United transfer ever.
Yeah.
Still don't know where to land on that
one. I think there's something with Frenchmen in United, right?
Just to run through the list really quickly, he got Lindelof, a mainstay in United defense right now. He got Lukaku, who I think net-net was great because they managed to recoup that money, which was huge.
Yeah, and not just that, he did score some goals. He scored goals for us.
I think that first few seasons, he was pretty good, actually. He got Nemanja Matic when Nemanja Matic was still a good player.
He was fantastic. I love Nemanja Matic. Yeah. He's old AF now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he was
a fantastic... Really quick.
One season? During the season or the summer break, he got super old. Because at Chelsea, he killed it.
Yeah,
at Benfica, he was killing it. At Chelsea, he killed it. Yeah. I think that first season at United, he killed it. Both seasons at United,
he was fantastic when he came in, man.
Yeah, and I think he was a big reason why they could control that game from that midfield, which they're trying to do with McTominay and Pogba right now.
Right.
He got Alexis Sanchez, the worst transfer in United's history, I want to say.
Oh, God.
I mean, I still remember that whole this thing where there was a setup where he was like playing the piano and they wanted to show how he always wanted to come to United, and that's bullshit because he was going to City and United just said, we'll double the offer, we'll pay you this much and the salary and the set. So and Pep's like, yeah, I don't need you, man. They need you more. Go for it.
And obviously, like, brilliant masterstroke by Pep to say no. And United's still suffering to this day, paying about 70-80% of his wages.
His salary.
I mean, to think Ole as a manager has more goals than him.
At Old Trafford this year.
That's mad, dude. I love that stat. So he went to Inter, actually started off pretty decent and then got injured. So he's
got a red card and then got injured.
Yeah, so now he's out for 3 months. He got Diogo Dalot. I don't know how to feel about that player because I just haven't seen
him. Same here.
Of him.
I think he's invisible. I think he needs to make his presence felt more. He is young. He may just come about.
How old is he?
I think he's 19, 20.
Oh, wow. I thought he was like mid-20s.
I think he's 21, 22.
Okay.
Still, I mean, okay, young enough. And
He is young. He might just come around, right?
Right.
But yeah, as of now, he's been invisible. He's not been getting that much playing time as well.
Yeah. I agree with you. I just haven't seen enough of him to like have an opinion. Next up, he got Freddy Fred.
Who needs to go?
He needs to go. I think like that was like 40, 50 million odd.
Yeah, 50.
But who else will play in the midfield then if these guys go?
There are other midfielders in the world you can get in. Just saying.
So again, just throw money.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Fred is not the kind of player you want. He can't. Oh my God, I get frustrated just talking about this guy. This guy is a midfielder and he cannot keep possession. He plays like the ball's a ticking time bomb. He just wants it off of him.
Is he holding or is he attacking?
He's supposed to be holding and then he does push forward as well, but he's not good at either.
Yeah, but that's what I have a problem with because he was playing a lot of attacking midfield at Shakhtar. He used to play a winger. He used to play that sort of free role, number 10, roaming around, very much attacking midfield. So to see him in central midfield or defensive midfield or whatever, that doesn't suit him. So I don't entirely blame him for not being able to perform.
Well, I agree. And I don't know what that situation is going to amount on to be. Last but not least, he got Lee Grant.
Who the hell? Oh, keeper?
Yeah, third choice keeper. Super, super cheap. 1.5, just good cover. So that's a great transfer.
Edward was like, bitches.
Upwards of 370 million. can't say upwards of 2 years at the helm because he got fired, I think, in December of 18.
Right.
He did get you a League Cup. He got you a Europa League.
Right.
Second place finish.
Which was still something better than nothing, right?
Like, I agree. Any, I completely agree.
Any day was a step above Van Gaal.
But it was a lot of, from the face of it, a lot of like this whole negative...
Exactly. I think it just created a toxic environment in the dressing room, which...
And Mourinho's very clearly also part of that. He should, absolutely. He should bear that responsibility because of the way he's behaved. I always loved Mourinho for the way he tackled media, especially right. That first stint at Chelsea, even the second stint at Chelsea, Real, Inter, everything. But this Man United thing...
he seemed grumpy.
So grumpy, complaining all the time. Yeah. Do you remember the whole five thing? This is like, Jesus, dude, get over yourself, man.
Right.
Just suck it up. Clearly, you're not the only one to blame in United, but behave as if you're manager of Manchester United.
Correct.
And to think that he's someone who respected and admired Ferguson so much and the legacy he left behind, he completely tarnished it. I'm sure the hierarchy has a lot of blame to take here, but my love for Mourinho literally went down by 90%.
Right.
And I loved him as a manager, as a character, all of it. And it just completely went away. And now he's just sitting around doing punditry, begging for people to hire him. So
Real, maybe?
I don't know.
No, I don't think that's going to happen, man.
United.
Do you want to get into the rumor mills? I heard that this one, Pochettino might step down. He's eyeing Tottenham.
I heard a rumor that Everton was eyeing him. And he's more than happy to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he wanted to go to a quote-unquote winning project.
I don't think he's going to get a winning project up
to
United.
Because he said no to Lyon. He said no to Lyon this season. So they fired their manager. The owner spoke to Mourinho. He said, F off. And they hired Rudy Garcia now.
Right.
Because I want a winning project. Yeah. So Everton, I don't think, is a winning project right now. Doing pretty badly. So he gets let go in December 2018. And in comes Ole.
Ole.
As interim manager.
Ole, Ole, Ole.
Interim manager. You guys think they pulled a gun in terms of hiring him?
Did you? Maybe there. But I've always backed Ole, man. Like,
He sucked at Cardiff, dude.
He did, but even though he's not... Okay, as soon as he came in...
See, this is the right nostalgia after, talking
about. No, I'm talking about results here. As soon as Ole came in, as soon as he took over Mourinho,
right.
He got in results.
PSG
3-1... 3-1 away.
Right.
And that was under Ole. Let's not forget that, right?
So he did a tremendous job his first five.
Even in the Premier League,
eight games.
Yeah, before he was made the permanent. As soon as he made the permanent, all the players are like, ab chill karo.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So they, I think, pulled the gun. I think regardless of results, they should have waited till the end of the season.
Absolutely. But I think with Ole, it's more about the philosophy. And he does talk United, which I think appeals to... He is a sweet talker, which appeals to all United
fans.
He's also
sweet looking.
he's a baby face assassin.
Baby face with white
and
hair.
And he's got the United roots.
That, I think, has been missing. Yeah.
Exactly. And this is something that's been severely lacking since Alex Ferguson left. Just get lit. And right now, I completely believe in his philosophy right now, letting in young players, getting in academy players, and giving them a chance. Tuan Zabe has been fantastic.
Right.
I think he's going to take over Lindelof any day now, man. Like, as a main player. He has been really good.
Dude, okay, so just jumping ahead, they're playing Liverpool this weekend.
Oh my God.
Set pieces Lindelof. Van Dijk's going to like literally be on his shoulders and taking headers, dude. He's so bad in the air.
He's very bad in the air. Very bad. I'm hoping Harry Maguire can kind of cover base there. Over.
But or kaun hai yaar? Fir Matip aa jayega header lene. Like,
there are times where De Gea has to step in then.
Speaking of injured, not playing against Liverpool, David De Gea. So.
And that was training injury. That's absurd.
This is going to be a tough game, man.
It's going to be a really tough game.
So,
but we've got some 3-4 players coming back in from injury. We've got Paul Pogba, Martial's back, Luke Shaw is back.
Interesting.
Van Bissaka's back. So hopefully there we can kind of.
I think Martial's the most important.
Absolutely.
Key in there. Otherwise you're not going to score.
Right.
Because
Van Bissaka. I think of all the players that we have in the team right now.
Right.
I don't see anyone as determined as Van Bissaka. He doesn't want anyone passing him or going through him. He goes in for every tackle.
Right.
And that's the United play, right? Like that. You just play with your heart. You give it your all. Right. And I see only Van Bissaka doing it right now.
I agree. And in terms of the three signings that he got, they've all done decently. Maguire, I think he's
Maguire, when I play, see him and Lindelof play together, Lindelof is always the one making mistakes and Maguire is always the one who's compensating. So you can't blame it on him. I've always seen him very calm on, even when he's on, when he has possession on the ball.
Right.
He's very calm. He makes good decisions. He can run with the ball. I think he's a good signing.
And he's very clearly making a difference, right? Which you wouldn't see with the Jones and Smalling pairing, for example. But the problem with the transfer market was that they didn't get enough people in.
We didn't get anybody for our midfield, which...
We didn't get anyone for your attack.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Daniel James not counted. Lukaku, your mainstay striker, going.
Yeah. Right.
And then you're like, oh, I'll figure it out with Martial and Rashford and I'll figure it out. But clearly you haven't.
And as soon as Martial took a hit, I think it just showed our cards, right? Like,
that's like that was
how ill-equipped we were.
Yeah,
right.
Completely. And 8 games now, sitting on 12th, I feel like this is the worst start in God knows how long, even probably before Fergie came in.
Yeah.
So the comparisons to Fergie are the lack of a smooth start.
Absolutely.
The United mentality, he's a Ferguson full fledged fan and follower, but it's also how much, my question here I guess is, how much is the lack of incoming transfers to blame here, and how much of the blame should reside with Ole? Because I feel like if they lose this game against Liverpool, they have a very strong case of letting him go.
Right.
But as I said, they should not, because this should have been done in 2013 with Moyes.
Exactly.
Like, they should have just given him time. Fine, you get 8th, you fire him, you get another manager, you come 6th, what's the point?
Exactly.
It's the same thing, you're spending 300 million, but you're getting 2 positions better. That does not make a difference. You need to do something with this club which aligns it with the philosophy of the club.
Absolutely.
As opposed to throwing money on players and managers and trying to do that. One club that sort of hasn't struggled with it as much is Arsenal.
Yeah.
And not to be disrespectful for Arsenal, it's just my true feelings, but Arsene Wenger's last few years were so bad that it wasn't like you had a lot to catch up on.
Yeah,
so Unai Emery coming in and basically doing the same thing just makes it seem like kar liya usne.
The same hai. Ye to Wenger hai.
So obviously Man United didn't have that luxury.
Right.
Ferguson went out on a high.
Right.
And 26 years of like a fabulous career.
Absolutely.
Right? And to expect David Moyes to replicate that within a year.
It wasn't going to happen. And that's exactly why with Ole, I think we need to give him time, because this passing a parcel or whatever you want to call it of managers happening, that's happened since Alex Ferguson's left. It's not done anyone any favors. Ole has brought at least the United philosophy back, which was severely lacking.
Right.
And he's giving game time to very young players, letting them develop. And on top of that, I think he's had a good transfer market, apart from the fact that he's not bought in enough players, maybe.
Right.
But all the players that he did get in, they were all good buys.
But it was only 3, right?
Right.
And 3 of 3 players who, especially 2 of them, the ones in center and right back, much needed.
Absolutely.
In United. So reinforcing defense is great, but reinforcing midfield and reinforcing attack didn't happen.
Yeah, but I think it's all step by step. I think what United did really well this, at least this transfer market, was they didn't overpay for anyone. I wouldn't say paying 80.
Cough, Maguire.
No, I wouldn't say that. Exactly. No.
In a
market where everything is so inflated already.
Right.
Where you're playing, 75 million for Lukaku after he's played like shit for United.
Right.
In a market like that, the situation is like that for the entire world football.
Right.
Where only Juventus and Bayern Munich seem to be making smart decisions apparently.
Well, not really.
Somehow.
I'm a Juve fan and they paid so much for De Ligt and he's not hit the ground.
Yeah, he hasn't.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So it's just that the transfer market is inflated, and I think for 80 mil, I think Maguire has been good for us.
Fair enough.
And he will, you know, like pull through.
Fair enough, but not reinforcing midfield is forcing you to play Pogba in the holding role.
And that's been a big mistake, and I think that's something that they want to compensate come January. But
okay, so fair enough. You think that there's one thing that you feel and there's one thing that you think.
Right.
Do you think that if Ole loses to Liverpool, he's going to be given more time?
I think he should be given more time. Will he be given more time is a different question.
Right.
But I don't think he will be given more time.
Right. That's what I feel too. See, the only other alternative is fine. Let's just ride it out till January, splash some cash, reinforce our midfield, reinforce our forward line, and then take it forward.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're capable of doing that, especially now because there are at least two great managers waiting in the wings. Absolutely. There's Mourinho, who loves making comebacks, to a point, and there's Allegri.
Yeah.
Massimilio, he's been sitting, he's been waiting. He started learning English apparently.
Right.
And him and Evra have sort of become this joint force. Ooh. Where Evra comes back to United, add more to the United thing.
Right.
Allegri there. Allegri's a tremendous manager.
He
man.
Is. He's a fantastic
He's so
manager.
Underrated. It's because he was at Juventus, everyone just like, it's Juventus, so they're right. doing their thing. But before that at AC Milan, he killed it, man. He yeah. completely changed that team. He's a very grounded manager, simple football. Results oriented, no right. drama, nothing. Like, he won't cry, he won't cry, right. he won't whine, nothing. And I guess United are looking for someone like that as well.
Right.
But will they let go of Ole? What do you think, Shreyas?
I think they shouldn't have signed him permanently. Should have waited and gotten Pochettino.
Yeah, same. Pochettino for the win.
I mean, I still think they do have a chance to get Pochettino. But if I was United, I don't know what I'd be doing. Because yes, I get that. The sort of United way of playing did come back a little bit towards the end of the season. It's so messed up that literally the second he is permanent manager, it just went to
the
shit.
The results, yeah, go down the drain.
Yeah, and despite the transfers that have come in, you know, with the preseason, with everything else, getting rid of dead weight, so to say, with Lukaku and Sanchez leaving.
Right.
I don't know, I mean, like, I'd love for Chelsea to play United right now, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to change that because it almost gave them this like disillusion, this thing that they're okay, that they'll do well, and they can't even compete against teams like Newcastle and Crystal Palace.
Right.
And to lose, unluckily, is one thing, but to lose so badly, like I remember not watching the entire Newcastle game when I saw the first half, and I was like, Newcastle can clearly win it. Like this might
Newcastle are dominating us.
Exactly. So I'm like, if one goal goes in, it might just be a rout. But okay, it wasn't. But to see United lose that badly, I mean, even as a Chelsea fan, as a fan of English football, that hurts a little bit. So to stick on with Solskjaer, I don't know if that's the best scenario because he has no managerial experience. Yes, he might be United. Maybe he shouldn't be first team manager. Maybe he should be part of the staff. Maybe he should be assistant manager, director of football, whatever you want to call it. You need to have some level of pedigree, which is why maybe not Mourinho, but a Pochettino or an Allegri would have made more sense for a stature of a club like United. But me, on the outside, I'd love for Ole to stay as long as he can because honestly, I think he doesn't cut it.
Okay, I think one thing is for clear that January you guys are going to try
absolutely
the hardest, yeah. Just throw money regardless of who the manager is because the squad needs reinforcements, yeah. Regardless of who's playing. All right, so the other thing that I just want to quickly touch upon is, and what a lot of fans really not like about the team is the whole company versus club situation. There's a lot of hate for Glazers ever since they took over and... You know, it's never, the word used is takeover and never buy.
Yeah.
And that just gives a little hostility to the situation and just the whole focus on profits and biggest earning revenue club in the world and all right. of that. But how long can that sustain if your club is performing like shit?
Absolutely.
Right. You have your legacy fans, you have your older fans like you are, you've been following them for like over a decade.
Yeah.
But what the future is new fans.
Right.
And because Man United has such a big global appeal,
right.
That outside of Manchester, there are a lot of Man United fans. That's because of the appeal of the club. And the appeal of the club stems from what's on
success,
the pitch.
Right.
Right. As opposed to the brand, the positioning, the marketing and all of that. So why will these, like if a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old gets super serious about football right now in Singapore, why would they be a Manchester
United
fan?
There is no way they'd be a Manchester United fan. And that's exactly something that Ed Woodward has to get through his head right now. That, you know, success on the field is what will generate revenue for you. It's as simple as that. Right now, we might be doing well revenue-wise or profit-wise and whatever. But that will go down because there's no success for the team. And that's exactly why we desperately need a director.
Interesting. The director is... I feel like it's just a... It's a stopgap solution here. It's not a sustainable solution as well, right? Now, if you get a director, but a director is so pressured by the owners and the CEO or chairman, whoever he is, to make sure that profits over results is the motive, then right. that director won't be able to do that much damage.
Absolutely,
as well.
But that's exactly why they're looking at players, people who've been players, who've been United players,
right,
for the current position.
Ferdinand wasn't the thing. What's the point of that, dude?
It's Van der Sar now.
Like Van der Sar, I understand he's been doing his thing at Ajax, but Ferguson, well, Ferdinand, what is he gonna do, man? He has no experience. Literally, like he's a pundit and a defender.
Yeah, yeah.
And what magic is he gonna do? He's literally just gonna be a yes man to Woodward and the Glazers.
Yeah.
So another thing now is that is should Ole leave or should Woodward leave?
Woodward should leave like right now. Like if if he could pack his bags right now and just be out, I'd be the happiest guy alive.
See,
I think
again, it's a,
I'd
it's
say
a
that
Wood
for
or
millions of United fans as well. I'd say that on behalf
echoing
of them.
The same sentiment, right? The whole problem is that from whatever I've researched on the Glazers ever since they took over is that Woodward is their go-to man because A, he orchestrated that takeover.
Right.
Right. And B, the growth that United seen is unbelievable ever since like these guys came to the fore, right? Over the past 6, 8, 10 years, they've gone from stride to stride.
Right.
And it's no joke that they're the most valuable club in sports.
Yeah. Right.
Not football, but sport. There's a reason for that. But apparently the past year or so, their revenues have also hit a ceiling.
Yes.
Right.
So if football is not an indicator of whether Woodward should stay or leave, money is the indicator if
Absolutely.
He should stay or leave. So if the money is drying up, then there's a good case for Woodward
right.
getting the sack, right? I don't know. I also read a report of one of the Glazer brothers putting his shares up for sale recently.
Right. Which was falsified though.
It's falsified?
Yeah, it's falsified.
Jesus, rumors,
though,
man.
Yeah, exactly. But another thing that I just heard recently is that Adidas, United were trying to renew their contract with Adidas and Chevrolet. Mm. And
okay.
they paid around 470 million in total for like, I think 9 years.
Okay.
And they're considering thinking that how the results have been over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They think they've been overpaying severely and they want to cut down on that deal.
Whoa.
So there the money dries up there as well, right?
Right. And well, you know, that's a margin of the money because the thing with money in football right now is TV rights.
Yeah.
That's like 80%
right.
of your revenue,
obviously,
right?
Yeah.
And obviously, even like when we talk about, oh, he sold him for 70 million, he bought him for 70 million, that's literally peanuts to what
right.
they're actually earning. Jersey sales and TV rights and commercial revenue. But to our point, if a 10-year-old today becomes super serious about football and he decides to choose Manchester City as his the club that he loves, or Liverpool, the club that he loves, then 10 years from now, you're not going to have your legacy fans anymore.
Right.
Right. You're clearly getting disillusioned. I have some really close friends who are Man United fans who are just so distraught right now.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I have friends who have stopped watching.
Oh, I have friends who are on suicide watch.
So it's not a good futures outlook for Man
Absolutely.
United right now. They're riding the wave of what they were able to achieve commercially the past 6, 8 years.
Right.
But 6, 8 years from now, that's not going to be the case, clearly.
Exactly. But and like we've already discussed, we're discussing about Ole. At what time does he get the sack, right?
Yeah.
The results aren't coming in.
Yeah.
Why aren't we talking about Ed Woodward? When does he...
Because he's the one who's sacking Ole. That's the whole problem.
At what time is he answerable to, you know...
I don't even know if he's answerable because it's getting clearer and clearer to see that even the Glazers want to run this like a company. They're looking for bottom line. They're looking for money made, revenue generated and stuff like that. So it's. I feel like Glazers and Woodward here are two sides of the same coin.
Same coin, right?
Right. So it's not like... It has to be super drastic where they run a loss or they just the money doesn't make sense anymore for the Glazers to be like, you need to go.
Yeah.
But that's if that comes from a point of view of money, then they're going to hire someone who generates more money for them. The problem remains the same. If it's Woodward, they'll find someone like-minded
right.
who can generate them money. But the results on pitch will remain the same, right?
I hope not. Like, I really hope not because everybody right now knows that Woodward is more a money man than a Manchester United man.
Right.
And I think...
What about the Glazers? What are your thoughts on the Glazers? Let's hear that.
Who likes the Glazers? Is there anybody who's on Team Glazer? Anybody?
Well,
any football fan?
Exactly.
Exactly.
But then if Glazers and Woodward are so close, entwined to each other,
right.
then Woodward leaving is not a scenario you can even entertain.
Yeah. I really don't know what to say to that then. Like, there's really no end to... There's no solution to this problem then. Apart from them giving enough time to one single manager.
I think what they think the best case for them is what they're doing with youth and bringing in a fan favorite as Ole. I think that was a big reason why they jumped the gun. They're like, oh my God, he can actually win.
Actually win.
We had no idea that could happen, right? If you another one of those absolutely useless stats, which is just fun to hear, is that his old team, Molde from Norway, has gotten more points since Ole became a Man United manager at Man United. Molde has gotten more points, and they were not good. They're not the best team. They've gotten more points than Man United has since Ole switched over.
Fantastic.
Again, completely useless. Out of context, we just love to hear stuff like that.
It's
just
Marcus Rashford won goal of the month for a penalty.
What?
Because that was the only goal we scored in a month.
Yeah.
How is that for a stat?
I did not know that. This is the last one?
Yeah.
They did not score a goal apart from that penalty?
One penalty, yeah.
Ouch, man. I'm so sorry. Bro.
I'm glad we're doing this. Yeah. This is like therapy.
It's like you need to realize the realities.
All right. We've gone on about this. Okay, just to close this out. Ole getting fired after Liverpool loss?
I hope not, but I think yes.
Stress?
I don't think so. I think they're going to wait till Jan to spend money.
Okay, I think he's going to go. And this is all assuming that Liverpool's going to win.
Right.
Is that a safe assumption? Of course it is.
Of course it is. Have you seen them play?
Allison's back,
they're
by the
paia.
Way.
Oh,
Allison's
yeah,
back.
He is. He's back.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So clean sheet. Even if you get inside the box, assuming he's the old Allison again, you're not doing shit. All right, so that was our dissection of Manchester United and their current situation. Harsh, thanks for being on, man. Really appreciate it. I'm glad this was therapeutic for you. I think you needed it as a fan.
I'm going to save some money. Thanks a lot, guys.
And very curious to see how this Liverpool-Man United game goes.
Not me.
We didn't even talk fantasy. I don't think we need to. Shreyas is sitting here. He's just ruling the roost right now. And Harsh and I are just getting slammed each week. Which reminds me, I need to set my team. Harsh, set your team.
Oh,
Don't forget. Shreyas, don't set your team. Maybe forget. That'll be helpful for us. And we will catch you guys next week to do a quick recap of Game Week 9. Catch you guys then. Goodbye.